Well, good morning. It is great to be with you this morning as we open up God's Word. So today I wanted to ask you a question. It's not a test, it's just a question. And the question is, do you know the importance of June the 1st? June the 1st. Some of you might, some of you might not. Some of you may be thinking, oh, it must be Steve's birthday. He's going to share about his birthday. But not that. Maybe the last day of school. I am a school teacher and teach middle school at Calvary Baptist School. And maybe it's the last day of school. Maybe it's National Hot Dog Day. Well, it's none of these. June 1st is not important because of these things. By the way, my last day of school is May the 23rd, and National Hot Dog Day is July the 19th. And the good news is you haven't missed my birthday. It's April the 11th, and so you want to mark that on your calendar. But what is important about June the 1st? June the 1st. Another question might help you to understand the importance of June the 1st, and that is this question. How many of you have a hurricane plan? A hurricane plan. Well, it's several years ago when we purchased our house, when they gave us a packet, and in the packet was this brochure entitled, Are You Prepared? And so when we started thinking about this, we realized that we needed a hurricane plan. We need a hurricane plan. June the 1st is the official start date of hurricane season. June the 1st through November the 1st, or November the 30th. That's only 75 days away. Only 10 weeks away. A little more than 2 months away. So hurricane season is upon us. And so the question is, do you have a hurricane plan? In the brochure, they recommend that in this hurricane plan that you would have an evacuation plan. Where will you go if you evacuate? Where will you stay? When do you go? That's a big question. And when do you stay? When do you see it through? Another thing they recommend for a hurricane plan is that you make sure that you have signed up for all the emergency notifications, like local TV, radio, civil defense, social media, yet you sign up to be knowledgeable of these events. When the hurricane comes, you are ready. Another thing they recommend is that you have gathered the necessary supplies. Things like water for at least 3 days, that you have food, canned goods that can make you through, medications. You want to make sure that you have those packed, important documents, extra cash, and even reminder of flashlights with batteries. And so the question is, do you have a hurricane plan? Do you have a hurricane plan? Let me ask you another question. What about your personal trial and tribulation plan? You may be asking, Pastor Steve, you've got me there. What do you mean when you say trial and tribulation plan? Well, what I mean is when you are in distress, when trouble comes your way, when persecution knocks on your door, what will you do? Who will you turn to? Do you have a trial and tribulation plan? Are you prepared when trials and difficulties come your way? If a hurricane plan is important, especially to those living on the Gulf Coast, then how much more important is to have a trial and tribulation plan? Verse 1 of Psalm 57 reminds us that David had a plan. It tells us that David had a trial and tribulation plan. Verse 1, he says, "Have mercy on me, my God, have mercy on me, for in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed." You see, listen to David's plan. David's plan would sound something like this. When trouble comes, when I am afraid, when distress is upon me, when I am greeted by suffering, I will trust the Lord. I will trust the Lord. You notice what David said. He says, "I'll take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster," he called it a disaster, "has passed." What could this mean? This word disaster can mean several different things. It could mean danger. It could mean storms of destruction. It could mean hardship or calamities or even adversity. And David finds himself in trouble. He is in a cave fleeing for his life. Saul is out to get him, primarily because of jealousy. Saul is jealous of David because David seems to be blessing, God seems to be blessing David more so than Saul. And Saul is jealous, and so he's out to get David. So David continues, if you notice in verse 1, he says, "I will take refuge in God." That was his trial and tribulation plan. He had prepared ahead of time that he was going to, no matter what he was facing, that he would turn to God. He says, "For in you I take refuge. I take refuge in the shadow of your wings." Now, what is a refuge? A refuge is a place of security. It is a way of deliverance. It is a promise of protection. You see, David gives us a great word picture about this refuge when he says, "I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings." When David says this, he's describing God's protection and God's direction. You could go to YouTube or Facebook and watch a clip of a mother hen protecting her chicks from a snake. When you see this video clip, what you'll notice is the mother hen will spread out her wings and their feathers as a means of protection and also giving direction to these chicks, because she's hiding the chicks from the snake, but she's also using her wings to guide the chicks as a way or in a way of escape. And so the chicks don't know better. They're not capable of protecting themselves. They need a savior. They need a refuge. It's the same picture David paints for you and I. We need a refuge. We need a Savior. And David paints this picture. This verse literally says, "In the shadow of your wings, I will continue to seek refuge." You see, David's plan was real simple. It was this. David trusted in the Lord in the past, and he's trusting God in the present. And he makes a vow in this passage to continue to trust God as his refuge in the future, regardless of what may come his way. David understood the need of having a place of refuge. David understood, and David had a trial and tribulation plan. Another truth we see from this passage is that David's plan is working. David's plan is working. What is his plan? Well, when we go to the Bible, we see this is, first of all, the truth is that you will all face tribulation. John 16:33, we have Jesus speaking, and he says, "In this world, you will have trouble." We've all experienced some trouble already. We know that it is coming our way. It has come our way, and it's coming our way. And so there it will be tribulation. But there's also another truth, is that we will find protection when we trust in God. He will be our strength. He will be our comfort. He will fulfill His purpose for you and me. So David continues. He says, He is the God who works for me. This is part of his confession that he believes God will be his protection. He says, He fulfills what is purposed for me. Who purposed it for him? God. God did. Who purposes for your life? God. God does. David's plan, he says in verse 2, I cry out to the God Most High, to God who vindicates, or who upholds, or who defends me. David's plan is working because he's trusting in God's plan. He's trusting in God's plan. David says, I will trust in the one and only God who watches over me. I will trust in the God who will never leave me. I will trust in the God who fulfills His plan for me. We read in Job chapter 42, verse 2, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. And then in Isaiah, we see the same truth repeated, verses 24 and 27. The Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned, so it will be. And as I have purposed, so it will happen. For the Lord Almighty has purposed, and who can thwart Him? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? God's plan doesn't mean that you are exempt from troubles. It does mean that you won't face your troubles alone, and nothing can thwart God's plan for you. We don't use that word, thwart, very often. It is in the Scripture. That word means to prevent or ruin or to stop or obstruct or even hinder. And God has a plan and a purpose for you, and nothing or no one can get in the way of God seeing it through. God Most High. That's what David said. He was revealing God's character. He was revealing God's purpose. He was revealing God. Who is this God Most High? He's the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-important God. He's the one and only God. There is no other. The God Most High means that He is the exalted ruler over the universe. Practically, when we say that word or that title, God Most High, one way that we can understand and comprehend the enormous truth of that God Most High is like this. Complete this thought with me. God has blank. Let me give you just a second to think about it, and in your mind, fill in the blank. God has blank. Now, let's see how you did. God has blank. Who'll fill it in for us? God has control. Absolutely. God has control. There's no doubt. There's not a doubt at all that who's in control. God is the sovereign one. He is in control. What else? God has what?
Power.
What else?
Love.
Love, yeah. Power and love. And God has what?
Truth.
God has wrath. God has what else? God has protected me. God's been like a mother hen to me. God has forgiven me. God has a plan for me. God has Now, let me encourage you, in your devotion time, is take a piece of paper and begin trying to fill that paper up with things that God has done. I promise you, you'll need more paper. God has blank. Let's move on to the second one. God is blank. God is what? Yeah. God is Almighty. Yeah, God is. Yes. What else? God is. How about getting personal? Can somebody say God is my Savior? God is my all. He's not just a cup halfway full. He's overflowing, isn't he? Amen. He's overflowing. God is overflowing with what? Love, faith, grace, mercy, power. You can continue. That's the next page you'll need. And then what about God will? God will what? Yes, He will do what He promises. God will
perform His word.
Yes, God will
never leave you.
Never leave you. And we already talked about it, but we need to say it, repeat it over and over. God will protect us. God will provide for us. God will give us direction when we follow. So we see that when we talk about God Most High, it's not just a title to throw out there flippantly. This is a description of the one and only God. God Most High. He's not an old God. He's an ever-present God. He is here today. He will speak to you. God will speak. I believe that He'll speak to all who will listen. And so we see God will, He will send from heaven in verse 3 of Isaiah 57. He will send from heaven. What does He send from heaven? He sends forth His love. He sends forth His faithfulness. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 and following, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God." And in Deuteronomy chapter 7, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps His covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." When faced with a trial and tribulation, look to the heavens and say, "God loves me." Yeah, many times we need to be reminded that whatever we're facing, that God loves us. He is there with us. Look to the heaven. God loves me. And then look to the heavens and say, "God holds me. He holds me." And then God is with me. God loves and He is faithful. You see, David has a problem. In verse 3, he says that there are those who are hotly pursuing me. There are some people who are out to get him. They don't like him for whatever reason, but they're out to get him. And David realized this is a problem. In verse 4, he continues this thought. "I am in the midst of lions. I am forced to dwell among the ravenous beast, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords." And what we know is that what David is doing is painting another word picture here of what is going on in his life. And it's not actual lions that he's facing. He's using this picture so he wants us to know how serious the situation is. Have you ever had a trial or tribulation and one of your questions was, does God know what I'm going through? David is saying, listen, what I'm going through, you need to understand it can happen to you too. And so he says, he wants us to know disaster is painful. Disaster that he mentioned is something that could be physical or emotional. It could be spiritual. This is the kind of trials and tribulations that we will fail. We will experience. We will find ourselves in this situation over and over. And when we get to this place, we have to ask a question. We have to ask the question, is my trials and tribulations greater than my God? You see, it all comes down to being personal, because God is a personal God. He's a real God. He's not a fake God. He's not an idol made of wood or metal. We're talking about the one and only God. And this is why David, even though he's facing a dilemma, but he can focus his problems on God. He can help to realize when you say, is my enemies greater than my God? See, until you can accurately answer that question, your troubles are going to be bigger than God. You will be facing a dilemma. And instead of focusing on your problems, focus on your God. Go back to complete that thought. God has, God is, God will. And be reminded of who this God is. David has a plan. He knew he was going to be faced with this trial and tribulation. And he has a plan. And his plan, you remember, is when trouble comes, when I am afraid, when distress is here, when I am greeted by suffering, I will trust the Lord. And now we know God is working through David. Working in David's life. And David's plan is working. Verse 5, it says, be exalted. This is David in the midst of being in the cave. He's in the midst of the trials and tribulation. And he says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all of the earth. David's committed his life to the one true God, the all-knowing God, the all-powerful God, the one who is in control, the sovereign God. Verse 6, David continues. He says, they spread a net for my feet, and I was bowed down in distress, and they dug a pit in my path, but they have fallen into it themselves. So here's what we can see, is that even when the opposition comes and the trials and temptations are intense. One thing we see is that God is bigger than any trial we can face. Verse 7, we know that the disaster is real. What David is facing may cost him his life. He's going through something serious. And so he turns to God. He lets his affection and his attention control his life as he reflects on God. Verse 7, my heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. When he says my heart is steadfast, he's just saying, he's acknowledging this commitment, this vow he made. And he was saying, I am fully prepared. I am prepared because I'm not dependent on me. My refuge is on Him. God Most High. That's who David continues to look to. Verse 8, he says, awake, my soul, awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. You know what that verse means? It's such a simple and profound thought. David is saying, sing like you mean it. Sing like you mean it. From the heart. You know, you don't worship on accident. You don't stumble into worship. Worship is something that you choose to do. You choose to trust in God. You choose to acknowledge the greatness of I Am. David's plan, verse 9 and 10. David says, I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. When he says this, reaches to the heaven and it reaches to the skies, he is simply saying that God's love is not limited by our circumstances. You can't let your circumstances dictate who God is, because God is God and you must follow Him. David concludes the psalm with a quick reminder that the quickest way out of trouble is to trust in God instead of our trouble. Now, around here, we have limited tornado action, thankfully, but we have tornado action down here, and it's been more intense in recent years. And I know all of you are probably familiar with the weather report when the weather person would say something like, get in your safe place. Get in your safe place. And it's what it's meaning is that the storm is imminent. It's upon us right now. Don't wait. Don't doubt. Do. Don't wonder, what should I do? Have that plan ready and make it happen. So when he says the weather report and it says, find your safe place right now, what would be your safe place? Well, according to David, your safe place would be with God. Your safe place would be with God. That's the safest place you could be, is in the palm of God's hand. You'll hear Him say things like this, you are my child. Your name is written on the palm of my hand. Do not fear. Trust in me. God will remind you, you may not be able to hold on to me, but I can and will hold on to you. David may be in a cave, but he's not away from his God. No matter how deep or how dark your cave is, God will be with you. Say this with me. I have a purpose because God has a plan. Say it again. I have a purpose because God has a plan. Join David in his trial and tribulation plan when he says, I call out to the God Most High. I call out to the God Most High. And He will fulfill His purpose for me. God is Almighty. We praise Him because He's worthy to be praised. We exalt Him because He is the Exalted One. And we turn to Him because He is the God Most High. So we conclude with a question. Do you have a trial and tribulation plan? Are you prepared for whatever comes your way? Have you trusted in God as your refuge? Today is the day. Don't delay. Choose God as your sovereign Lord. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the truth of your word. Thank you for speaking clearly to us this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness, your goodness, your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you that you are with us and will never leave us. Thank you, Father, for your greatness and how you extend that to us. Because of your grace, not because of what we earn. So, Father, we turn to you and we acknowledge you as the one and only true God.